Claudio, man, he always brings it. He always brings it. We got to put him in the Mount Rushmore of guests. It's Andrew Claudio, it's Amy Trask, Mean Gene Okerlund, and then who will the fourth one be?
It's being fought for. In fact, little note to all our future guests, that spot's open.
That spot is open, that's correct.
Ready to be claimed.
You're right. It's Andrew Claudio, it's Mean Gene Okerlund, it's Amy Trask, and then the fourth one is two to be determined. I like it.
I mean, think about it. Think about Mount Rushmore. Didn't put that together until you had Lincoln swoop in and do everything he did. Then you build Mount Rushmore. Had to get number four up there. You're not rolling up there with three faces.
You had to get
a fourth big swinger in there.
You had to wait for Teddy Roosevelt to come in there and be the trust buster.
Can Mark technically be considered a guest?
Well, okay, we don't schedule Mark, though. Yeah, we schedule Mark. The temperatures may be going up, but the prices are going down at Bellman Automotive in Troy, Missouri. Dads and grads may rule the month of June, but Ryan Kimner and his great sales staff have deals for all. It doesn't matter if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. Your next one can be found at Bellman Automotive. To supplement their wide inventory, they have financing for everyone and a top-notch service department to help keep your new ride maintained. In the market for a new truck? Here's a great offer from Bellman. Save up to $12,000 off MSRP on a new Ram. That's right, $12,000 off, but that's not all. At Bellman, you also get a Grizzly cooler or your choice of a Remington shotgun, Ruger pistol, or a Savage Access camel rifle from M&N Guns at no extra charge. So drive home in a new Ram truck and your choice of a rugged Grizzly cooler or gun at no extra charge. Bellman Automotive really can do it all. Give them a call at 636-462-3600 or swing on by at 175 Turnbell Trail in Troy, Missouri, BellmanCDJR.com. Let's head to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and our friend Jim joins us. Good evening, Jim. How are you?
Good evening, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. What's on your mind?
First of all, the fourth man on Mount Rushmore, what about Vinny?
Yeah, I think Vinny would be up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we forgot about Vinny.
That's a good one.
So there we go. Jim completing it. So our Mount Rushmore.
I don't like how many of those people are from California.
It's Vinny Bonsignor.
I don't like this.
Oh, we've got two people from California. So we got Vinny.
That's all I'm saying.
Vinny Bonsignor and Amy Trask from California. Andrew Claudio from New York. And, of course, the legendary Mean Gene Okerlund from Tampa, Florida. I like it.
Sounds good to me, guys. I got a couple things on my mind. Are you still there?
Yeah, we're still here. What's on your mind?
Okay. Number one is this. You know, I know, good for the Cardinals. They've won two in a row. But we really don't have a closer because you use your closer to close out ball games. I was really interested in last week's game on Friday. Brett Cecil gets somebody out to finish out a mess that Rosenthal had against the Pirates. He throws four pitches, and he doesn't come back to pitch the ninth inning in a tie ball game. He brings in I'm not defending O because he gave up a run. But the point is, he already boxed himself in. What would happen if that game would have kept going extra innings? You already took a pitcher out without extending anything, and you probably could have run out of pitchers by the 13th inning. Did the same thing in the Arizona game in the first game. Again, he boxed himself in when he pitches O in a tie game. I don't get it. Again, I know I'm his biggest critic. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. And bullpen management, I think, is probably Matheny's biggest issue. Is bullpen management? He can't manage a bullpen to save his life. He's really bad at it.
He can't get himself out of his own way. It's his problem. And the other thing is this: I was really intrigued earlier about the short stuff from California, Simmons. I'd love to see him get here. If I had a package Diaz, and or Jerko and Carpenter, I would have no problem about it. I wouldn't mind having the Simmons play short, and if Diaz has to go, that's fine. I would like to see Steven Piscotty move back. I believe his natural position is first base. I'd love to see Pham in the outfield along with Fowler and maybe Grichik. If you have to move Grichik for somebody, that would be great too, and bring up one of these other kids to play the outfield. I'm going to hang up, list your comments, enjoy the show as always, and if I don't talk to you before the fourth, have a nice fourth and have a great weekend, and I appreciate it.
You as well, Jim. You have a great weekend as well. I don't think you're going to give up all that to get Simmons out of Anaheim, though. All those players that he mentioned, I don't know if he meant that you had to give up all those players or just, you know, a package of some of those players combined.
It's going to take you two or three pretty big, you know, pretty solid prospects. And by prospects, I mean guys who are right now at the level where they could probably be brought up to the major league club. Simmons ain't going to come cheap. He's a big name, and he's, you know, people talking about him like he is the best defensive shortstop in the game right now. And that's, well, obviously it's not important to most people as being a good offensive player, that's still really useful.
And if you give up Diaz and you give up Jerko, then, I mean, are you bringing in Simmons? Okay, there's your shortstop. And I guess you're going to have Wong play second base. I guess you move DeJong to third?
Yeah, DeJong, Diaz, see if, you know, let them
play. Well, no, he's saying you trade Diaz.
Oh,
you're putting Diaz and Jerko together to trade to get Simmons. If you're putting those two together, then you're going to have to put DeJong to third.
Yeah, that's not an issue I have. I've seen the other my plan involves moving Diaz to third because the package I throw to the Angels doesn't include Aledmys Diaz. But then again, I'm a little biased to that one. I've always thought Aledmys Diaz would be a badass third baseman.
I do, too.
I don't know if he has the bat to do it, but I think defensively he fits perfectly.
The problem with the Cardinals infield is that they have a bunch of players playing in the wrong position. You have a second baseman playing first base.
Well, they just have a lot of second basemen.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, there's just too many of them. And you can say it's poor planning on Mozeliak's part because he's the one who arranges the players. He's the one who's gathered them up. The Bellman Automotive phone line available at 855-282-8255. The text line also at 855-282-8255. Ed Roy Looks Goiter was texting back in talking about firing the hitting coach. He said, that's my point. Teams with good hitters hit well. If you're too cheap to stock your team with good hitters, the greatest hitting coach in the world won't matter. I mean, he's got a point. You can't argue against that. What I'm saying is that it's easier to fire the coach than it is to get rid of the players, which is why you often see that happen. It may not always be the coach's fault, but it's easier to get rid of the coach than it is the entire team. And Ward Cleaver texting back in, can't St. Louis build a 70,000-seat retractable roof stadium event complex? No, they can't. They can't even get the funding to get a soccer stadium.
You said St. Louis, and that's a little ambiguous. You talking about just St. Louis City? Because the answer is definitely no.
Definitely no. I wonder what Kroenke's going to do with all that land that he assembled out in Maryland Heights.
I don't know, and I don't care. That's all I got to say about that.
That's all he's got to say about that.
That's all I got to say about that one. I could not care. And honestly, while I'm on the air, I'm in don't get fired mode, so that's all I'm saying.
Speaking of Stan Kroenke, looking at Yahoo, and they have ranked in the NFL the teams and their quarterback situations. Who's got the best one and who's got the worst one? Guess who has the worst quarterback situation in the entire National Football League?
Ooh. Is it the Rams?
It is the Los Angeles Rams.
Don't worry, their head coach came out there and said that Goff is a very natural thrower.
This is what's strange.
The most useless platitude ever when talking about quarterbacks.
I'm not saying that this is wrong, but you're trying to tell me that the Rams have a worse quarterback situation than what the New York Jets do? They have Josh McCown, Christian Hackenberg, and Bryce Petty. That's better than what the Rams have?
No. Christian Hackenberg is literally the second-round version of Jared Goff, and as in a guy who does not belong there, didn't belong there then, doesn't belong there now. Hackenberg's terrible. So, no, maybe not that bad, but at the same time, the Jets did not give up their future to put together that quarterback grouping. The Rams gave up their future to put Jared Goff behind center.
The team with the best quarterback situation, no surprise, the New England Patriots. Yeah. You got Tom Brady, you got Jimmy Garoppolo, you got Jacoby Brissett, and you saw what all three quarterbacks did last year. The Atlanta Falcons, they have the second best. They have Matt Ryan and Matt Schaub. The third best is Aaron Rodgers and Brett Hundley. Fourth is the New Orleans Saints with Drew Brees, Chase Daniel, Garrett Grayson, and Ryan Nassib. Fifth is the Oakland Raiders with Derek Carr, Connor Cook, and E.J. Manuel. I didn't know that's where E.J. Manuel went. Number six is the Indianapolis Colts with Andrew Luck. Number seven, the Pittsburgh Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger, Landry Jones, and Josh Dobbs. Number eight, the Carolina Panthers with Cam Newton, Derek Anderson, and Joe Webb. Number nine,
how much of these rankings are actually being moved by the backup?
Some of them is being moved by the backup.
I mean, some of them, I'm aware some of them are. That's why I asked, how many do you think really are being moved by the backup? Come on, about the fact that Joe Webb? I mean, who cares about the backup behind Cam Newton? I mean, are we really going to pretend like that's that big of a deal? Come on.
Well, yeah, because Cam Newton, if he gets hurt, let's talk about the quarterback situation. The backup's going to factor in.
Yeah. Number nine. I'm just saying, I don't think who the backup is actually going to be moving these rankings very much when you actually look at that.
No, I'm saying that the backup is the reason why the rankings are what they are.
So why not just rank who has the best backup quarterbacks?
We get to put in the starter too. The starter backup are factoring.
I'm just saying. I feel like if we're really talking about who's the best if their quarterback gets hurt. Who's got the best backup quarterbacks? Obviously, New England's at the top there in the first place.
Number nine is Seattle with Russell Wilson and Trayvon Boykin. Number 10, the Dallas Cowboys with Dak Prescott and Kellen Moore. So that is according to Yahoo.com. Final 10 minutes. Do we want to do take on me?
No, actually, we're going to do it. We're going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to save take on me till tomorrow. We had a lot of stuff from Wednesday, a lot of stuff from today, but we might as well. It's a good segment to really end the week with a lot of different kind of topics. So we're going to push that one off. We're going to, since you threw out your own list there, we're going to actually end today's show with my weekly starting list.
Okay.
And so what we're going to be doing on this show is we're going to be doing a list, a top eight list. I know it's a little unconventional with the numbering, but you'll see why. We're going to do a top eight list. We're going to call it our management power rankings. We're breaking down how the two sports teams in St. Louis are being managed. So those obviously eight slots, we picked out the four management spots we want to criticize. Obviously two for each spot. The owner, the team president, the GM, and the head coach slash manager.
Let's do it.
Those are the eight guys. This is our top four and our bottom four. Right now in a top four of our management power rankings. Number one, I think this is number one with a bullet. I think there's a gap after this guy. That's Tom Stillman, the owner of the St. Louis Blues. There's not a thing he has done incorrectly. He's doing everything right. The way he reached out to the fan base when the Rams were leaving, the way he reached out to the fan base this year when he realized it was still a new group of people coming towards the sport and to the team. Everything Tom Stillman's done, absolute money. I don't think you can argue that right now when you talk about the guys running sports teams in St. Louis, he's at the top.
The thing that makes me nervous, though, about Tom Stillman is that he doesn't have deep pockets.
Makes me respect him a little bit more, though.
Why is that?
It worries me because, obviously, things can go wrong. And he can
That's never, okay.
But see, I respect the man that he puts his money on the line for something that he loves and for something that the city loves.
There's no question that Tom Stillman cares about St. Louis and cares about the Blues, and he wants to win. What worries me about Tom Stillman is that he is not a deep pocket owner, and I would feel more comfortable about it because, as we've discussed time and time again, if the Blues do not make deep playoff runs, the Blues are not making money. And, yeah, these guys, they're not really making the sports franchises, they're toys. They're not necessarily the source of income for the family unless you're like the Lakers with the Buss family or the Spanos out in Los Angeles with the Chargers. For the most part, they're just a toy. They're just, you know, something to play with. But no one likes to lose money. So if they do not have deep playoff runs, eventually Tom Stillman's going to be like, look, I love owning the team. It's not like I hate owning it. But I hate losing money more than I love owning the team. And then eventually they put the team up for sale. If that ever does happen, then you never know what's going to happen.
And we know for a fact right now that he's lost money before and he keeps on trucking. So that earns me a lot of respect points for him. I think number one with a bullet at the top of our rankings. Number two, we're going to stick with the Blues. I'm going with team president Chris Zimmerman. The guy who was apparently the point man behind getting these renovations done at Scottrade, getting the new jumbo, getting the new Jumbotron, the new scoreboard, those kind of things. That's been one of the biggest problems with the Blues is that they just Scottrade was lagging behind. The way they were entertaining people within the Scottrade Center was lagging behind. The speakers were bad. The TVs were too small. Bands coming through didn't like to perform it because apparently they were at times would have to bring extra equipment so that they wouldn't blow out the speakers already at the Scottrade Center and things like that. That is a huge move. Obviously, Tom Stillman being the owner has got to get through that, but Chris Zimmerman as the point guy with the ownership working with the Scottrade Center and with the city and stuff like that, I put him number two getting that kind of stuff done.
I can't argue with anything you just said there.
Number three, Doug Armstrong. We're sticking with the Blues. What a weekend he had last weekend with the draft. Not only does he make some great first-round picks, you got Rob Thomas, you got Costin, two incredibly good first-round picks, and you look in that he got Costin because of the trade he made for Ryan Reeves. Some people didn't like it, but when you talk about it, you heard it last night on Hockey Sense, the way people rave about this kid, how he's one of the best players in the draft despite the fact that he got drafted so low. Combine that then, obviously, with the huge Braden Schenn deal. You get rid of Yuri Lehterä's contract. You don't really get rid of it. You replace it with Braden Schenn's contract. Obviously, a lot more talented, almost 60 points. Doug Armstrong had a huge weekend, and the only reason he's not in one or two spot is because he's had some bad he had some mistakes he had to make up for this weekend, and that's what he did. So I moved him up there, but he's not up there because, well, he's got to make up for some other things.
Doug Armstrong certainly won over a lot of his haters last weekend.
No doubt about it.
There's no question.
And to finish off our top four, we're going to get a Cardinal in there. This is a tough one. It's probably going to be a flip of the coin between these two generations, if you will. But number four right now, Bill DeWitt Jr. We're going to put the owner in there because, again, the guy made – this is the starting one, flat out. The guy made a ton of money off selling things like parking garages. His team continues to win. And despite the fact that right now the direct management over the team hasn't done a great job the last couple of years, DeWitt Jr.'s killing it as the owner, bottom line.
You don't think he has a reputation of being cheap?
I don't always think that's his decision. I think obviously the owner's going to have a lot of money in it, but when you're talking about a family thing, you got to think that it's not just Junior who's making the decisions on the purse strings. The third's going to come into it. The family, everyone in the organization's going to come into it. Does he have the deepest pockets? No, but I'm not going to get into that. But again, if he was spending a little bit quicker, he wouldn't be fourth. By the way, our bottom four, just really quickly, Mike Yeo didn't do enough. Okay, but not enough just yet. And then the bottom three, it's all Cardinals. Shouldn't be that surprised. Bill DeWitt, the third, gets knocked down there. But the bottom two, I think no one's going to argue this. On our bottom four, the bottom two, seventh and eighth right now in our management power rankings, John Mozeliak and Mike Matheny.
Mike Matheny, a distant eight.
Yeah. There's, you know, it's like the goal lines. the end zones are Tom Stillman and Mike Matheny. Chris Zimmerman and John Mozeliak are inside the 20s. And then everyone else is kind of grouped up in the middle 40 yards.
Special thanks to Brendan Schaefer from theintrepidstl.com and Andrew Claudio, the digital media director for Gotham SN and the host of the Nothing But Knicks podcast on iTunes. Charlie Tuna is up next. Tomorrow we're going to be joined by Nick Hand in studio and also by Clay Byersdorfer from redbirddaily.com and, of course, Kevin Brackett from realspoilers.com. Everybody have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.